Morning, church. It is great to be with you guys. Jerry and his family are heading out tomorrow on a cruise ship, so I know we're all jealous, but thank you for still being here anyway. My two-year anniversary, full-time staff anniversary recently passed, and I just wanted to take a moment to tell you all how much it has meant to me to be able to serve here at FBC for these last 2 years in a full-time capacity. It has never been hard for me to find support or a breakfast casserole or a dinner here, or it's a lot of food requests, but I appreciate it, and you all are always so willing to step up and serve. Even our team that serves with us on Wednesday nights just does such an incredible job and are such a gift to our students and the ministry that we do. And I'm just so blessed to have been here for the last 2 years and hope for many, many more. I want to start this morning by asking you all a question. And there's no shame in your answer, okay? I just want to preface that. How many of you are tired today? You feel tired. Raise your hand, it's all right. I didn't realize how much I was going to resonate with this question, but our son is either teething or has another ear infection or something. So 2 a.m. last night, this morning, however you want to say it, we were up. And so if that's you, I resonate with you. Maybe it is, yeah, maybe you didn't sleep too well, or kids or grandkids woke you up too early, as some can attest, or some combination of factors has just caused you to show up here today tired. If that is you, I just first want to say thank you for being here anyway. It is easy to skip things like this whenever we feel tired after a long weekend, and sometimes you need it, but I appreciate that you've all still chosen to show up this morning. However, I want to rephrase my original question, and that question is this: how many of you are tired at a soul level? What I mean by that is the weight of life or the things going on in your life feel heavy. In some ways, maybe feel too heavy to just continue. Like, you wonder how do we keep moving forward? Maybe it's caring for a sick and ailing loved one, and it's tough and wearing you down. Maybe work at your job and the things that you're doing at your job, you're pouring yourself out day in and day out, and it largely goes unnoticed or underappreciated, and it takes a toll, and it wears you down. Or maybe it's the season of parenting you find yourself in, that some days down feels like up and up feels like down, and you're wondering, how do we keep moving forward? Or maybe you're a teacher in the month of May. Don't know if I need to say anything else there. You're in the thick of it. The end is within sight, and the year is just wearing you down. Or maybe, if you're here or watching online, maybe you don't know Jesus, and you've tried everything else, and you have come to the end of yourself and are looking for an answer, and life feels heavy. If you fit into any of those categories, or another category, I'm glad you're here, because I have good news for you today. We'll be in Matthew 11, 25 through 30. This is a passage that for me is one that I come back to regularly. There are a few passages like that for me. The one I got to preach on the prodigal son about a year ago, and that is another scripture, another passage that it's just a wellspring of life for me, and so I return to that one pretty regularly. And this is another one, this promise that Jesus has for us in this passage today. Is abundantly life-giving. So Matthew 11, 25 through 30. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, because this was your good pleasure. All things have been entrusted to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, And no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son desires to reveal him. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, some will say gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The first thing that we see here in our passage today is that rest requires dependence. Jesus starts by praising God that he has hidden these things, mainly the message and identity of Jesus, that he has hidden them from the wise and intelligent, meaning he has largely hidden them from those who we would all think, yeah, that's the wisest person in the room, or who are kind of wise in their own eyes and have really in many ways kind of puffed themselves up. That these things, this message and identity of Jesus, has largely been hidden from them and instead revealed to infants. What do we know about infants or little children? We know that they are dependent people. And why would Jesus say that? He is pointing out a significant truth regarding rest, that you cannot think or work your way into the rest that Jesus offers. It is a gift of his grace. Meaning, we must be dependent on Jesus in order to rest in Jesus. The wise and intelligent do not recognize their need for God in this passage. They have neglected their need for God, and it prevents them from entering into the rest that Jesus offers. But like children, those who come to Jesus are very aware of their need. And this is where we find rest, in being aware of our need for Jesus. To rest, we must become dependent like children. Our son, Abel, many of you know him, have met him. He's the cutest kid alive. There's a heavy, heavy dose of bias in that, but we've talked to the committee, and it's pretty unanimous. His mother and I are the committee. But anyway, our son, Abel, knows where his snacks are. He knows where to find his snacks. He can walk you up to the pantry. He can point them out. He knows where his milk is. I mean, it's pretty uncanny that when he wakes up, the first thing he does is na-na, na-na, because he just wants his snacks and his milk. It's like, we need to hurry up. So he knows where they are. He knows where to get them. But he is still largely dependent on us to provide them, that we still have to give him those snacks. We are much the same with God. We need him. And sometimes we are aware of where to go, but in our own self-sufficiency, we think we can take care of ourselves. And really, we need to remember our need for Jesus. One commentator said, "No one in heaven will be able to say, 'I'm here because I was smart enough to figure God out,' or 'I'm here because I was good enough to merit my place in heaven.'" That it is not by our own efforts that we enter into the rest of Jesus, but it is us taking him up on his invitation to come rest in him, that we must become like children in order to rest in Jesus. The second thing that we see is that Jesus invites us to rest in him, that it is the rest that we're looking for is ultimately found in Jesus. True rest is only possible through a relationship with Jesus. Now, when Jesus is talking about rest here, he's largely talking about relationship with him. To truly rest, we must know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. There is no true hope of rest outside of him. One commentator said, "Only the Son knows the Father, but the Son delights to share his relationship with the Father by making us children of God. It is through this relationship with Jesus that we become the children of God and we find the rest that Jesus is offering." The knowing that Jesus speaks of here speaks of a deep and kind of intimate knowledge of another person, which signifies relationship, that we need relationship in order to rest in Jesus, that rest and relationship they're almost directly connected. Because if you think about, some of the relationships in your life, the closest ones that you have, when you are around those people, there is a sense of rest that we can enter into around those people. And it's the same with Jesus, that he is inviting us into his rest if we want to take up his invitation into relationship with him. Jesus longs for us to be a people at rest, and our world really is craving for a non-anxious presence, that we live in the midst of cultural upheaval, and you watch the news, and it can leave you in a pretty unrestful place. Or, I mean, we scroll and scroll and scroll. I'm not saying just you, I'm saying we. We scroll and we scroll, and we are taking in more information in those few minutes than humanity has really ever taken in before. And it can leave us with a sense of unrest. But if we will take up Jesus' invitation to enter into relationship with him, we will find everything that we are longing for. We must take him up on his offer. Otherwise, we are liable to vain attempt after vain attempt to be at rest in a world and a culture that does not want you to slow down. Our culture is not structured in a way that wants you to stop. Our culture is structured in such a way that they would rather you just keep going and keep going and throwing your money at this quick fix and this quick fix. But ultimately, we must stop and rest in Jesus. John Ortberg, who's a famous Christian author, once asked another famous Christian author by the name of Dallas Willard what he thought was the greatest enemy to a spiritual life in today's world. What is kind of the number one thing you would say that prevents people from a deep spiritual relationship with God? And there are a lot of things I think a lot of us would say. We would say, you know, like progressive culture or things like that. And Dallas Willard paused for a while. And then he simply said that hurry is the greatest enemy to a spiritual life. That's this constant frenetic pace that our culture wants us to move at that interrupts deep and intimate connection with God. To be at rest, we must stop and we must slow down and we must enter into relationship with Jesus. I also find it interesting that Jesus puts a qualifier on this rest, but it's not a hard one to meet. Because Jesus says, who qualifies to enter into this rest? Or he said, who qualifies to enter into this rest? And Jesus says, all who are weary and burdened. All who are weary and burdened. Which at some point or another, I'm guessing is all of us in this room. Maybe not today. Maybe it was yesterday. Maybe it'll be tomorrow. But at some point, the things of life for all of us, whether in Christ or outside of Christ, will weigh us down. They will be heavy. The main difference is whether, again, we will recognize our need for Jesus or not. Will we remember our dependence upon him for the rest that he is offering, or will we neglect it? The other interesting thing I find in this passage is that this is the only, there, obviously the characteristics of Jesus are all over the New Testament. His character and his nature, it's on every page. But this is the only time in the New Testament, really in Scripture, that Jesus himself describes his own heart, that these words are coming from the mouth of Jesus about his own heart. In Scripture, the heart is kind of the animating center of a person. It's more than just the thing that beats in your chest. It's kind of the core of who you are. It's your main motivations in life. One person said it's the things that gets you out of bed in the morning. It's kind of the center of your life. And so it's highly significant for Jesus to describe his own heart as lowly and humble. Some will say gentle and lowly. For him to be gentle or humble is for Jesus to be deeply loving and understanding. He is patient and without a quick trigger. And he is not bothered by you or your need for him. That those things you have going on in life are not stumbling blocks to Jesus. Dane Ortlund, who wrote a book called Gentle and Lowly, all about this passage, I would highly, highly recommend it. He says, the posture most natural to him, Jesus, the posture most natural to him is not a pointed finger, but open arms, that Jesus has an invitation waiting for you to enter into relationship with him and to find the rest that your soul is longing for. For Jesus to be lowly really just means for Jesus to be accessible, that Jesus is approachable, that there are no hoops to jump through with Jesus. He only asks that you open yourself up to him, that you recognize your need for him. Again, your burden or situation in life is not a stumbling block to Jesus. It does not prevent him. It is actually your ticket to entry with Jesus. To be burdened or heavy laden is our entry point with Jesus. It is not the thing that gets in the way. And the third thing that we see in our passage today is that we must take on the yoke of Jesus. Now, I know, especially in a room like this, I know many of you are familiar with a yoke, more so than I am. A yoke was a large wooden contraption that kind of locked two animals together and allowed them to work or pull farm equipment. And they were often very heavy and not light at all. And so it's curious and interesting that Jesus would describe his yoke as easy and light, because people would have thought, I've never held a yoke that was easy or light. So how can Jesus describe his yoke as easy or light? One commentator put it this way: Jesus doesn't simply expect obedience from his people, he also empowers our obedience, that through the Holy Spirit, we have everything we need to live the life that Jesus is calling us to and to be at rest in him. Another commentator said something to the likes of that the yoke of Jesus for the Christian is like the feathers to a bird, that it's actually the thing that kind of propels us into this life with Jesus and allows us to live with Jesus, is that when he invites us into his yoke, and we take up his yoke, that it is through the Holy Spirit we are empowered to live this life that Jesus is calling us to live. We are not left to our own devices, and I think this is precisely why Christians need this reminder. Again, if you find yourself outside of Jesus and you're kind of at the end of your rope in life and you are looking for an answer, that answer is Jesus. I can promise you that. But I think especially for Christians, and why this passage kind of pops up again and again in my life, is because we are so prone to operating in our own power without even realizing it. There was an author who once said, and this is a bit harsh, at least to me it was a bit harsh, but I needed it, that he described most Christians as functional atheists, that the way we operate and the way that we live is with so little dependence on the Spirit that sometimes you wouldn't be able to tell the difference between us and someone who doesn't believe at all. But this is why we need this reminder, because we are prone to operate in our own self-sufficiency. I heard a pastor say one time, and I'm paraphrasing this quote, but he said, people will be in their seats and accept the invitation to come up front and receive the gift of salvation, that they have heard the gospel and they are responding. However, by the time they reach the front, they have convinced themselves they are responsible for holding their salvation up in their own power. That we are a people who are kind of prone to our own self-sufficiency. And Jesus is again inviting you into rest. So are we truly willing to open up our lives to the love of Jesus? It can be painful and will likely involve some internal renovation of the heart. However, you will find rest. So how do we do this? How do we enter into the rest of Jesus? And how do we remain in the rest of Jesus? It really starts by reclaiming three practices that can often go neglected in our lives. And I've experienced this neglect in my own life. But things like silence and solitude and prayer. I had a good friend one time tell me that in order for us to find rest in Jesus, that we have to commit to silence, because we have to be able to commit to turning down the noise of the world so that we can turn up the volume on the voice of God, that we have to get away from the noise. This looks like Jerry encouraged us last week to turn off our TVs and maybe not stay so glued in and locked into the news or whatever it is, or locked into your phone or whatever it may be, but that it starts with kind of shutting those things off and just being with Jesus. That long before Jesus calls you into a life of activity, which he does, we are called to faithful living. We have to put forth effort. We are active participants in our relationship with Jesus. But that long before he calls you to a life of constant doing, that he calls you to be with him, that he calls you to enter into his rest and to remain at rest in him. So it starts with things like silence and solitude, getting alone. And I know these things can be difficult because we have things we have to do. We have stuff that we have to do throughout the day. And so this is not an encouragement to tomorrow start with an hour of silence in the morning and an hour of silence at night or anything like that. If this is not regular to you or a new practice to you, don't bite off more than you can chew. It might just be after you've dropped the kids off at school or right before you head out to work, just giving yourself a couple of extra minutes or even an extra minute to just sit and be with Jesus and remain in his presence and to be silent before him. And this is also hard for us because it doesn't feel productive. Like, it doesn't feel like I'm doing something. You know, whereas, like, if I'm reading my Bible or I'm, you know, it feels like I'm actually doing something. It feels productive. But the whole point of silence and solitude, that's kind of the whole point, is that it doesn't feel productive in the moment. But I promise you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, God is at work in those moments where we pause and we rest. So if you did earlier, if you found yourself in any of those categories, that maybe you have been caring for a sick and ailing loved one, maybe you are the one wrestling with something going on in your body, Jesus invites you into his rest. Maybe things at work have been difficult, and it's wearing you down, and it's kind of wearing you thin. Again, Jesus invites you into his rest. Or parenting is just really hard right now, and you're wondering, how do we keep moving forward? Again, Jesus invites you into his rest. Again, maybe you're that teacher in the month of May. Jesus invites you to pause at some point in your day and just to rest in him. Or maybe you are here or watching online and you don't know Jesus. And you have tried everything to fill up that void that is just nagging at you on the inside. Jesus invites you into relationship with him so that your soul can be at rest. As John and the team come back up, I would just encourage you to take a moment. Those breath prayers are still in your bulletin. So you can take a moment to pray through one of those. You just kind of, again, like Jerry said, you just inhale and exhale. And as you're exhaling, you just let that prayer come out of your mouth. But take some time, even if you haven't had a chance this week, take some time to rest and to just be at rest in the presence of Jesus.